If you are hurting, if you're in a dark place, if you have been holding on to this pain and it has held you captive for years, you're leaving the welcome mat and the door open for the enemy to walk in as long as you were holding on to that pain. So it's time to pull up that welcome mat. It's time to bolt the door. Welcome to Enliven the Broken. My name is Tracy Melner, and I am your host for this weekly podcast conversation about the joy of discovering God in our own brokenness. I personally have found God's love and his presence in my darkest places, and I've healed from my brokenness through his promises. And I want to share those stories with you in hopes that you can find the same love and healing that I have found. Together, let us break free from the shame of our brokenness. Let us pray. Dear Lord, thank you for your love and for your mercy. Lord, may your love heal our wounds and transform our hearts. Help us to let go of past hurts and embrace the healing power of your love. May your love guide us to become the best versions of ourselves. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hey, so did you know that 1 in 4 children today are currently being raised fatherless? I read that statistic today and it just broke my heart. I knew it was a lot, but I didn't know it was that many. And the statistics around the implications of an absent father are they're devastating. They are just truly devastating. And there's roughly 18.3 million children in this world that are raised without their father. 85% of children with behavior problems are fatherless. Children without fathers are 5 times more likely to commit suicide. 5 times. It's awful. And the consequences of childhood abandonment, they don't go away. They have a profound effect on the development of the brain. They prevent children from developing meaningful relationships. They actually reject relationships. And if you leave those feelings unchecked, then they manifest into your adulthood and become even more intrusive and damaging to your life. I personally can speak about this because while I was raised by my dad, I actually have 2 dads. They were present in my childhood. I was abandoned by them later on as a teenager. And I think at any point in your time, whether you are abandoned as a child, as a teenager, or as an adult, the effects of that are so damaging. And I have learned that the only true way to recover from the effects of abandonment is through the love of Jesus Christ. So that's what I'm going to talk about today. My story of abandonment, I call it my dad wound. You may hear people say that sometimes, but my dad wound is, the story's complicated. It's not simple by any means. I mean, I have 2 dads. That can't be simple, but it's complicated. They both abandoned me at different times and for different reasons, but the damage that was done took me quite some time to learn how to recover from it. So because it's so prevalent, God put it on my heart to talk about it today because I know there's people out there that are struggling with abandonment, especially paternal abandonment. My story of abandonment is I have 2 fathers that were present in my childhood, my biological father and my mom married when they were very young. They were 18 and 19. They had my oldest brother, Brian. And then 6 years later, they had my middle brother, Brad. And then 18 months later, they had me and my twin brother. So my mom had a 6-year-old, an 18-month-old, and then had premature twins. So they had their hands full. And that and some other circumstances that I'm not going to go into on this podcast resulted in their marriage deteriorating. And so they divorced when I was just a baby. My first memories of my earliest childhood were with my stepdad. So he and my mom married when I was 3. And he's my dad. He raised me. He was the father figure in the household. He was the disciplinarian. You know, he was my dad. He was the one that was always around. I did see my biological father quite often. He did not see us regularly like the every other weekend common schedule that you hear about. He may have had those rights, but he did not exercise them. My biological father was an alcoholic. He spent most of his time drinking and in nightclubs. But when he would show up, he would pick us up on a Sunday for a couple hours, and he would take us to do fun things like go to Chuck E. Cheese's or something like that. I have very fond memories of him. As a child, you don't see those bad things. I didn't understand that there were custody papers or that there was a schedule he was supposed to abide by. I just knew that I loved it when he would show up, and I love spending time with him. And I knew that he loved me. He told us all the time. I felt love from him. And that was the important thing. That's all that mattered to me as a child. When I was 15, my stepdad adopted me and my brothers. Now, mind you, at this time, my oldest brother was an adult. He'd have been 21. My middle brother, Brad, was 17. And then my twin brother and I were 15. Why the adoption took place at that time, I really don't know. I'm still not real clear on what the purpose of it was. At the time, I was told that the adoption was going to make us a complete family, which I didn't feel like we were an incomplete family. In order for the adoption to occur, my biological father had to sign over his rights. And then we went to court. And I remember sitting in front of the judge, and I think it may have been a female judge signing the adoption order. And then really the only difference that I felt was that my last name changed. I still talked to my biological dad. Nothing really in the household. Nothing really felt different. I just had a new last name. I did not understand the full gravity of the situation at that time. It was not explained to me that my biological father was going to be erased from my birth certificate, like he just never existed. And so it wasn't until I was an adult when I started to put the pieces together about what had happened that I realized that my biological father had just signed over his rights, that he just gave up. And then my mom divorced my stepfather 18 months after the adoption. I believe that there were some motives behind the adoption that I was not aware of at the time. My biological father, I think he had some financial incentive to do it because it relieved him of the burden of child support, which I don't believe he ever paid consistently. He was an alcoholic and he never had a steady job. And so I know it was always difficult for him to pay consistently. I believe he had to borrow money from his parents because he had to pay his outstanding balance before he could sign his rights over. So I believe his reasoning for doing it was financial. I believe my stepfather's reasoning for it was more of an ego boost. I think there was some kind of power play over my biological father. And then my mom, I believe at the time, I think she had a subconscious motive, knowing that her marriage to my stepfather was not good. Apparently it never was, but I didn't know that at the time either. Knowing that if they were to divorce, she would be able to get child support from him. When they divorced, my family, as I knew it, basically disintegrated. The adoption actually made the divorce feel worse because we were a complete family and now we were just obliterated. So my oldest brother was already an adult and he was living on his own. My middle brother had been kicked out of the house. I believe he was living with his girlfriend maybe. And then my twin brother and I were separated. So Trent went to go live with my stepdad and I went to go live with my mom. And then that didn't go so well. My mom and I were not getting along at that time. I was in a tailspin. My life was completely disrupted. And I ended up dropping out of high school for a little while. I was living with friends because my mom and I were not getting along. It was not going well. And I just remember crying out for help. I knew if I did not do something, my life was on a really dire path. And so my stepfather agreed to take me in. He lived in a 2-bedroom condo. So my twin brother was already living there. He turned his utility room. He didn't have a washer and dryer in it, but he converted that into a little mini closet room for me. I had a little cot that I slept on the floor and had my clothes hanging up in there. And that was my room. So he took me in. He put some very strict rules down, which I needed. I needed that structure. He was just what I needed at that time in my life. And I'm forever grateful for him for doing that. If it wasn't for him, I would have not graduated high school and got my life back on track. So I'm forever grateful for him for that. So fast forward, he ended up remarrying, my mom remarried. And so they both were in their own lives. 6 months before my husband and I were going to get married, my biological father passed away unexpectedly. So I mentioned that he was an alcoholic and that it actually ended up being essentially what killed him. He died from an esophageal hemorrhage. It's basically his esophagus was eroded away from the alcohol and he essentially bled to death. When he died, we hadn't seen his family, his parents, which would have been my biological grandparents, and his sister, which is my biological aunt. We hadn't seen them in a very long time. And at the funeral, as is the case with any kind of sudden, unexpected death, the grief is immense. And they were grieving. And unfortunately, in that grief, they said some pretty unsavory things about my mom and my stepdad. And I'm not going to go into the details of what they are because I still don't know what the real truth is and nobody's here to defend themselves. So I'm going to leave those details out. But the things that they said made me kind of go back and reevaluate all of my childhood memories. So all of these memories and events and interactions that happened in my childhood were replaying and recategorizing in my mind because of this new information that I was given. Even though I didn't know what was truth and what was not. I mean, the truth was probably somewhere in the middle, but it was a completely different perspective on my childhood, my mom and my biological father's divorce and the adoption, and then my mom's divorce of my stepdad. So with that information, it sent me in a tailspin. It opened up a Pandora's box of emotion. And again, this was 6 months before I was going to get married. And I remember just feeling devastated because I finally felt like my life was on track. I was doing something good. I was very proud of my relationship with John. And I wanted both my fathers to walk me down the aisle. That was not going to happen anymore. And I was feeling a lot of anger because of the information that my biological family had told me. I was processing a lot of that anger and towards my stepdad. And he and I met at a restaurant and I was telling him I was processing a lot of information. And I told him that the things that they said were not nice and that I needed his help. And we were in a restaurant. It wasn't the time to talk about it, but I said, you know what, we can talk about it at a later date, but I really needed to work through those things with him. And so over the course of the next couple of weeks, we talked a few times. I would present a question to him. Typically we did it over email because we both were working and I would send him a question and he'd take a few days and think about it. And then he'd send a response. And then a few weeks later, I received an RSVP in the mail for our wedding. And it was from him. And it said that he would not be attending. And I thought it was a mistake. I thought he just checked the wrong box. And so I called him and he didn't answer. And so I sent him a quick email. I was like, hey, what's going on? Your RSVP says you're not coming. And he confirmed that he was not coming. His email was somewhere along lines of he felt like the line of questioning that I had presented him with showed that I did not respect him, that I did not value the adoption, and that I did not want him to participate in my wedding. And none of that was the case. But unfortunately, when you send emails, I guess that's the downside of it, is they can be read in the wrong tone of voice or taken in the wrong context. And I have not spoken to him since. Having that happen, losing both my dads at the same time, left a huge hole in my heart, a huge hole. That was a double whammy because my biological father signed over his rights. So that was, he gave up and then he dies unexpectedly. And then my stepfather checks out. It's like, all of these circumstances happening all at once, it was like an atomic bomb went off in my heart. And that took me a long time to grieve my father, his passing, that loss. And then I spent years being angry at my stepfather before I could really feel like I could start to forgive him. We have not spoken since. It's unfortunate. because I am very grateful for the role that he had in my life. There's so much in my life I think that he would be proud of that I'd love to share with him. When you have that kind of abandonment, it can manifest itself in so many ways. I would say for me, it instantly caused me to be insecure, felt unlovable, and it certainly manifested itself into a insecure attachment style. I think for a lot of people that struggle with abandonment from parents, whether it's mother or father, it can manifest itself. And some of the signs can be needing constant reassurance that their loved one's not leaving. Sometimes people that experience abandonment will reject relationships just in general. They have a hard time trusting other people, and they have a fear of being rejected themselves, so they don't open themselves up. On the flip side, it can develop into an extreme sense of independence, fear of being dependent upon anyone, feeling like they could never allow themselves to count on anyone else. It can manifest itself in your self-esteem, your mental health. It can cause anxiety. It can cause depression. It can cause people to worry excessively. Abandonment can come in many different forms and from many different root causes. It's not just fatherless children. I mean, there's emotional neglect that can cause abandonment issues. There's divorce. There's physical abuse. There's death, just general death can result in feelings of abandonment. And what I've learned is that wound is so vast and it's so deep that if you do not heal it, it will manifest itself in your daily life. And you will constantly feel like you're not worthy. You will constantly feel insecure in your relationships. You will constantly worry about losing people that you love. There is a path to healing that. We have to remember that God offers us healing. He is healing. He has come to heal the wounded, to restore that which is lost. The gospel itself is about healing. The hard part and the first part of it is believing that you are worthy of it. If you allow God to heal you and to love you unconditionally, then you can fully heal that wound and seal it off so that the enemy cannot attack you there. The first step in recovering from abandonment is to study God's word. If you study God's word and God's character throughout the Bible, it'll show you that he is trustworthy, he's kind, he's gentle, he's encouraging, and he's loving, and he's always going to love you, just like a parent should. So that unconditional, unwavering love that we expected from that person that left us is what God offers us. And if we allow that to fill that wound, fill that empty space, that's the key to overcoming that abandonment. There's a scripture in the book of Matthew. This is actually talking about casting out a demon from a possessed person. It's relevant here, and I'll explain that in a minute. But Matthew 12:43 says, when an impure spirit comes out of a person, it goes through arid places, seeking rest, and does not find it. Then it says, I will return to the house that I left. When it arrives, it finds the house unoccupied, swept clean, and put in order. Then it goes and takes with it seven other spirits more wicked than itself. And they go in and live there. And the final condition of that person is worse than the first. What I think is so important about this scripture is it really indicates how when we heal, when we clean out a wound, right, we get rid of all of the negative impacts of that wound, we have to refill it. We've got to fill that space with something strong enough to prevent the enemy from coming back in. And what you fill that back in with is God's word and his love and his trust, because there's nothing stronger than that. The enemy will still know that wound is there and he will still shoot arrows into it. That happened to me just last week. One of the father figures in my life made a comment that got back to me that, man, it shot an arrow right into that wound. I mean, it hit to the core of it, and it sent me spiraling for a day and a half. But there's the spiritual warfare aspect of it, of being aware that wound is there and being able to recalibrate it. The thing is, previously I left that wound open for years, and for years it had a negative impact on my life. Now that wound can be penetrated. I can process it and seal it back up within 24 hours. Hopefully someday I'll get faster at it, but it took me a little while to understand what was happening, which is okay. I'm a human being. But the most important thing is that you have to take the time to reconnect with God. You need to lean in on His word, lean in on His promises, and believe that you are worthy. You are worthy to be loved. You're worthy to be nurtured, to be valued, to be listened to be understood, to be appreciated. You're worthy to be accepted and to receive the love that God has waiting for you. You have to remember the person that hurt you was a human being. Okay, the only person that's capable of undying, unconditional love is the Lord. And He has that waiting for you. And that is how you heal that broken place in your heart. And don't forget, God specializes in turning your pain into power and purpose. So there is beauty that blossoms from your ashes. Your purpose is in your healing. So make yourself a priority to heal those broken places. Take time to reconnect with God. Reach out and find a spiritual counselor, someone that can help you process it. Remember, sometimes our pain clouds our vision and clouds our mind so much that we can't see what the truth is. So talking with a spiritual counselor that can help you work through that. And then let nothing keep you from the healing power that God has waiting for you. All you have to do is reach out. It's waiting for you right now. If you are hurting, if you're in a dark place, if you have been holding on to this pain and it has held you captive for years, you're leaving the welcome mat and the door open for the enemy to walk in as long as you were holding on to that pain. So it's time to pull up that welcome mat. It's time to bolt the door. Let's get that wound healed. Fill it up with God's love, His loving presence, and fill up the cracks of the pain that's caused by others. So lean in, grab a hold, and let's get healed. Thank you so much for taking the time out of your day to listen in. If you'd like to share your own story, if you'd like to send me a message, you can reach me on any of the social media or podcast platforms. You can also email me directly at Tracy, that's T-R-A-C-E-Y, at enliventhebroken.com. Also, if you'd like to support our show as we share God's love with listeners everywhere in the world, you can do that by going to our website at enliventhebroken.com and selecting the support button at the top left. Your generosity is greatly appreciated. Thank you so much and have a wonderful week.